Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with me to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40. By many commentators, this has been called one of the highlight chapters. It seems like every week I say that of the chapter that I'm reading from. But this is one of the most majestic passages about the person and work of God. And we're not going to read the whole thing, just the end of the chapter. But if you would follow along with me as we hear God's word for our hearts this morning, beginning with verse 27 and continuing through the end of the chapter. Why do you complain, O Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my sin, my ways are hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And may God bless this reading and this hearing of His word this morning. Let's look to God in a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, knowing that it is truth. Enable us to understand it and to apply it, to go forth from this place and put it into practice in our lives. Lord, forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for there are many, and point us to Jesus Christ and to Him alone, for it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Folks, I'm on a high this morning, not a drug-induced high, not an alcohol-induced high, but I am on a high emotionally, spiritually, physically, because of some of the things that have happened this week. And I want to share just a few of them with you. On Friday afternoon, I had the privilege of being a part of 25 or so people, that many of you were there, in honoring one of the distinguished ladies of our congregation who gave so much to this community. In creating beauty in the community. But on that day, we were honoring Lil Carson for her 50 years of being the president of the library board, wanting to bring education and literacy to Quitman County. That was a highlight of the week for me. And then 5:30, actually it was closer to 6, that the Amtrak came rolling into town. Many of us have been praying about this, planning for this, hoping for this, that this may be a catalyst for real improvement in our community, financially and economically. Did you know that the statistics are that there will be 1,000 people a month to board, deboard here in Marks? 12,000 people coming through Marks a year. That's a significant number. I hope and pray that it reaches that number. Then a little bit later on that evening, Jackie and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. 50 years with the woman I love, and our children played such a significant part in that. Not only providing the beautiful flowers that grace our chancel this morning, but as we got to the restaurant, the owner came out, and the chef, and he sat with us, told us that a gift certificate had been provided, and made recommendations regarding the menu and the cuisine, and it was a highlight of the day. And then sitting there planning our trip to Ireland and Scotland, and folks, we're excited about that. And by the way, I finished my 82nd thank you note this past week. And it was so gratifying to just know that so many people value us and want this trip to be a meaningful time for us. I just thank God for each person that made this possible for us. And thank you all as the officers, the ladies of the church, in making it such a surprise and such a wonderful event. I'm going to come back wearing and preaching in a kilt maybe and bringing the bagpipes with me as well. But I'm soaring this morning. Several years ago, 5 years ago to be exact, Jackie and I were coming back from Atlanta. We were finishing up cleaning up her mother's home there, bringing furniture back. And we came across a bumper sticker that caught my attention. I even wrote it down. And it was this: do you want to fly with the eagles or scratch with the chickens? You can imagine the car that that was on. It was a Jaguar. And we were driving the CRV with a 6x10 trailer behind us, so I think we were scratching with the chickens that day. But from the Word of God this morning, listen to what Isaiah says. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let me give you the context of this. Judah is on the verge of captivity by the Babylonians. Isaiah is warning them that they need to turn to God. And the Hebrews are thinking, God's forsaken us. God's just removed himself from us. And if you read this whole chapter, you'll see that God is saying, look, I'm here. Look at who I am. Don't take your eyes off of me. In our text this morning, even though these people were facing great problems, our text doesn't tell us that God's going to take away our problem. He didn't take away the problems the Jews were facing then. But it does tell us that God will give us strength to go through to the other side. Several years ago, I clipped one of the daily devotionals from the Daily Bread, and I'd like to read just a few sentences from it. In the documentary film about three legendary guitarists, Jack White described the first essential for writing a song. And Jack, you can probably identify with this, being a songwriter and a musician. If you don't have a struggle already inside or around you, you have to make one up to write a song. He says, the songs that mean the most to us give expression to our deepest feelings. Look at the songs of the Psalms. And if you listen to them, they capture our disappointments, our fears, but they always point us to the faithful love of God. I've quoted him a number of times from the pulpit, and I'm going to give you the same quote that I normally give. But Scott Peck was one of my favorite psychiatrist writers, and in one of his books, he makes this statement, and I want you to listen to it very carefully. It is in the whole process of meeting and solving problems that life has meaning. Let me read that first sentence again. It is in the whole process of meeting and solving problems that life has meaning. It is only because of problems that we grow mentally and spiritually. For this reason, wise people learn not to dread, but actually to welcome problems and actually to welcome the pain of problems. Let me ask you this one. Do we see our problems that we face as difficulties or opportunities to grow in the faith? Do we, like the bumper sticker so succinctly put it, do we want to soar like the eagles or do we want to scratch like the chickens? And if we would truly want to soar like the eagles, we have to understand a little bit about the eagles, that there are no shortcuts. There's a life of discipline. There's a life of learning. And I'd like for you to consider eagles with me for just a moment. And this is just one part of the fascinating life of eagles. Several months ago, Jackie's brother, Reed, and I were standing on the highest point on the property there, and we were standing with the timberman who was doing selective cutting through the forest. And just about 100 feet above the tree level, a magnificent bald eagle flew over us. And I'm so glad that they're coming back into this area. It's a majestic creature. Let me tell you something about eagles. Eagles are more prevalent in other parts of the country. But they make their nests with briars and thorns, and they inlay them with animal skins so that the little hatching eaglets don't get prickled and cut. And this is a real life for the eagles. I mean, mom goes out and brings food to them. All they have to do is sit there in the nest and get fat until one day mom decides they're going to learn to fly. Do you know how that process takes place? Well, the mother removes the animal skin so that the little eaglets begin to get uncomfortable in the nest. And then the mother picks up the little eaglet, puts her on, or the eaglet on her back, and she flies 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet, even up to 5,000 feet. And all of a sudden, she'll turn. And that little eaglet will begin to fall toward the earth and begin to frantically wave its wings and try to fly. And the closer it gets to the ground, the more panicky it probably is. And all of a sudden, the mother comes and swoops up that little eaglet, takes him up again, until sooner or later, he begins to fly. It's kind of like us in the Christian life. When we first become Christians, we're protected in God's nest. We feel safe and secure, and sometimes God takes us out of that nest into some difficult places in our lives. And he wants us, even in those problems, as Scott Peck says, to soar like the eagles. How do we do that? I want to just list three things this morning very briefly. If we want to soar with eagles, first of all, we have to learn to pray more. I want you to turn with me or just listen as I turn to Mark's gospel. And this is a part of the early part of Jesus' ministry. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever and immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on him. And then more comes. The evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. This is in Capernaum. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. After a busy, busy day, notice what happens next as recorded by Mark, as given by an eyewitness account of Peter. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. If we're going to soar like eagles, we have to learn to pray like Jesus, dependent upon God the Father, for that fellowship. He had the heaviness of life and ministry with all of these people crowding on. They were a problem. But he believed that it was important to spend time with God to reestablish himself, to see what God was saying, to recharge his batteries. And he received power through prayer, even though he was the Son of God. Let me share with you a poem about prayer, and I think you can identify with it. I identify with it. I got up early one morning and rushed right out to the day. Had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you just didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. And he said, you just didn't see. Same thing he was telling these Jews in Isaiah 40. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided. My child, why didn't you knock? I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. We need to learn to pray more. I read this week of a person for whom I had great admiration, still have great admiration. He's 86 years old now. His name is Frank Barker. He was the founding pastor and the pastor for all of his ministry of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Frank is now in a retirement home. He leads a Bible study. He's had strokes. But if you're around Frank, he's a very humble man, very plain spoken, but he prays in such a way that God has answered those prayers in a miraculous way. I'm humbled every time I'm in his presence. But the second thing we have to do if we're going to fly like an eagle is we have to learn to trust. That's what God tells the Hebrews. Those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. In Psalm 147, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope or their trust in his unfailing love. God doesn't want us just to believe that there is a God and have all of the answers so we can tell other people about God. But he wants us to do more than just believing. He wants us to entrust our lives to him. And you've heard the story of Charles Blondin, who came over from France in 1859, strung a tightrope across Niagara Falls. He was on one side, crossed over with a wheelbarrow, came to the other side. With the applause of the people, he walked down to the audience and he says, do you believe that I can carry it back? And they said, oh yeah, you can carry it back. And he said, who of you will volunteer to get into the wheelbarrow and let me take you back? God says to reach out in faith, and that means putting ourselves into the wheelbarrow, if you will. The third thing, and briefly, if we're going to soar like the eagles, we need to be obedient to what God wants us to do. You know, we claim to be Christians, and we are Christians, but we don't always act like Christians. We aren't always obedient to what Christ tells us to do and what Christ tells us to be. Several years ago, in fact, I looked at the date on it, James. James sent me an email. And it's a story that I think many of you are on this list, so you've already seen the story. But let me share it with you again. The light turned yellow just in front of me. He did the right thing, stopping at the crossroad, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman behind him was furious, honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and her lipstick and her makeup. As she was in mid-rant, she heard a tap on the window and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit the car, put her hands up. He took her to the police station. She was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell for 2 hours. And later, the policeman comes back, opens the door, escorts her back to the booking area, The arresting officer is waiting with her personal effects. And he says, "Ma'am, I am so very, very sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, cussing a streak at him. And I noticed the bumper sticker, 'What would Jesus do?' And the Choose Life license plate holder, and the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian emblem on the trunk. So I naturally assumed you had stolen the car." We don't always act like Christians, but God calls us to follow Him in obedience in following the Lord. Last Thursday evening, at a function with the Reclaim teachers and some of the Teach for America teachers, I was sharing with the coach for Madison Palmer track team, who's they've had great success this year, and AK was telling me of the meets that they still had to go, and I said, AK, are you familiar with my very favorite? I have two favorite movies. One is A River Runs Through It, but my all-time favorite is Chariots of Fire. It's a true story. It's a story about Eric Little, who grew up in China, came back to Scotland, his homeland. He became known as the fastest man in Scotland. And the movie is about his life. And by the way, the beginning of that movie was had the music that Bill played as the prelude, Jerusalem. It's the national hymn of England. And it was playing in the cathedral where one of these men had died. But Eric Little was a favorite to win in the 1924 Olympics in Paris, the 100 meter. But on the ship over the English Channel, he was told that he was going to have to compete on Sunday, and he said, "My principles won't let me do that." So it was his dream going down the tubes until one of the other athletes stepped up and said, "I'll let you run the 400 meter, and I'll run the 100 meter." Now, Eric Little had never run the 400 meter. He was a burst speed runner. And he won in an unexpected way the 400 meter, and it has never been run the same since then. The commentator said he ran like a man inspired. Indeed, one of them said that he gained strength from somewhere beyond himself. And if you remember the movie or the book, but in the movie, his sister Jenny, who wants him to come back to China as a missionary, which he eventually does, says, "Eric always said that the great thing in him was that he stood for principle, refused to run the 100 meter. He found the 400 meter was actually his race. He could have done something to go against his principles, what he felt like the scriptures teach, and run on the Sabbath day." In that movie, he's up in the highlands with his sister, Jenny, and they're talking. She's trying to persuade him to go back to China. He's preparing to go to the Olympics, where he does win this gold medal. And he makes a statement, and I think it's a statement that ought to be brought before all athletes. "Jenny, God made me for a purpose. He made me fast. And when I run, I feel His pleasure. Soar like the eagles or scratch with the chickens. Let's be resolved to allow God to train us like that mother eagle trains her eaglets, that we might soar like an eagle, not scratch like chickens. Listen to God in prayer. Trust God and obey Him in all that He tells you." And let's pray for one another as we sing our hymn of commitment. God be with you till we meet again. It's a prayer for one another that we might soar like the eagles. Hymn number 840. Receive the benediction. God, we thank you that you call us to live our lives in the heights. Enable each of us to go this day and to soar like the eagles. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.